Hi everyone, Jeff here from Gojo Media. I do in-depth and fun food reviews on YouTube. To find me, just search for Gojo Media Jeff.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening, because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 354 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 24th of October 2015. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone app. Your hosts for today are Brad, Steve, Jacob and myself, Daryl, and our special guests are Anna Reeves and Ahmed Salama from That Startup Show. Welcome, Brad.
Welcome, Daryl. How are you, mate? How's your week been?
Good. Ah, just a busy week at work. Nothing to sort of write home about, but just, yeah, tail up and sort of everyone wants things done before Christmas. Yes, Christmas is coming.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe it.
And I will get it done before Christmas.
Yes, indeed, you will. Anything interesting happened during the week, Steve? You want to, Daryl, you want to report on, mate?
No, I ordered a new microphone for my notebook, so
okay,
I'm
cool.
Really happy about that. So hopefully it'll be better than having a head wrapped around headset for my notebook. And my Toshiba notebook is working very well, and I will do that review for your blog.
Cool, mate. Can't wait to see it.
That's about it.
Cool. All right, let's go to Jacob. Welcome, Jacob, and you're here because your birthday is on Monday.
Sunday for me, Monday for you.
And how old will you be?
I'll be a 30.
30.
Old.
Or if you want to classify it, getting as old as an old fart.
Okay. That's not... Okay.
You got a while to go for there till that.
Yep. All right, Jay, how's your week been, mate? Anything you want to report on?
Starting to get cold here.
Yep. As you do over there in that time of the part of the world, yep. And
yeah, but during the day it's like in the 90s.
Okay.
It's probably getting warmer in Australia now.
It is getting a little bit warmer. Yeah, it's been good. I like it.
Vice versa.
It's actually not
humid and warm, but yes. We need rain. Rain. Send us some rain.
Yeah, send some rain to Daryl. Stephen, how's your week been? Welcome back, Steve.
Yeah, I wasn't here last week. I had a lot of stuff to try to catch up on. It was a little bit hard, but I'm caught up. Actually, today I had the interview to do for the show, and for various reasons, had a chance to use both my cameras again in the new Atomos Ninja recorder. It records into ProRes for video editing. It worked wonderfully. It was so easy to use. As soon as I push the record button, it automatically starts the external recorder. So I'm going to have a chance to be using that here soon. Well, I've used it, but I've got to edit the video. So.
Can't wait to see the video, Steve. Good stuff. And we also got Anna and Hamid on. Welcome, guys, to the podcast.
Hey. Hey. How you doing?
Good, Anna. Good. How's your week been, guys?
Pretty mad. We've just been the show's been on tour for the last couple of months, and yeah, we've just been very busy with taking the show on the road.
Cool, sounds good. And where are you at the moment?
We just did Brisbane and Queensland last week, and we're just heading into Adelaide next week, followed by Perth, Sydney, and then heading over to good old New Zealand.
New Zealand, okay, cool. Sounds good. All right, well, we'll come back to you in a minute. We're going to do some news and then we'll come back. Daryl, are you ready to do the news, mate?
I am indeed.
Here we go.
And here's some news for this week. From 9 to 5 Mac, now that iOS 9.1 is out the door and hopefully people have been updating their devices, Apple turns its attention to 9.2, but internally. And so, in other words, Apple has finally pushed out the last bit of iPhone and iPad software that is made, that's publicly testing. And it's out of the way. The company has internally shifted its focus to the next mobile OS released on its roadmap, iOS 9.2. And there's a chart below which gives you an idea of how quickly iOS is being updated. And if you want to see that, it'll be on the show notes after the show. Facebook app is killing iPhone battery life. Probably a few of us have been suspicious about the Facebook app for a while. Checking Facebook excessively is a good way to kill your battery, but according to a wave of user reports, the Facebook app might be draining your iPhone's power whether you're using it or not. For the past several days, the web has become awash with users complaining about Facebook's iOS app using an abnormal amount of battery power and data while running in the background. On Thursday, Facebook confirmed the problem. We have heard reports of some people experiencing battery issues with our iOS app. We're looking into this and hope to have a fix in place soon, a Facebook spokesman said. There was an update out just, I think it was yesterday, but I'm not sure if that actually fixes it because they don't actually tell you what bug fixes that they're dealing with. An iMovies, for those of you who are into making video, iMovie updated with 4K support for iPad Air 2 and iOS 9. Apple today updated its iMovie app for iOS devices to version 2.2.1, fixing several bugs and adding 4K support for the iPad Air 2, following yesterday's release of iOS 9.1. An iPad Air 2 running iOS 9.1, lots of numbers, can now be used to edit and share 4K video. iMovie first began supporting 4K video editing with the 2.2 update released in September after the launch of the iPhone 6S and iPhone 6S Plus. The two new iPhones are the first Apple devices that are capable of capturing 4K video, and along with the iPad Pro and the iPad Air 2, they're also the only devices that can edit 4K video. So go to it, all you video buffs. And iTunes has had a bit of an update. Along with the update to iOS OS X and Watch OS 2, Apple today released a new version of iTunes, iTunes 12.3.1. The update is a minor one, with the release notes only saying it improves overall stability and performance. So if you're expecting something brand new, then you might have to wait for the next update. And finally, for those of you in Australia waiting for the National Broadband Network or who already have the NBN, the NBN announces G.fast FTTB, fiber to the basement, trial with 800 megabits per second speeds. I dream of that. The company rolling out Australia's national broadband network, NBN, has announced a trial of G.fast fiber to the basement, FTTB, technology, attaining throughput speeds of 800 megabits per second. G.fast used to provide high-speed broadband on networks that stop short of rolling fibre all the way to the premises, namely fibre to the B, FTTB. Fibre to the node, FTTB, and of course it goes on with all this other technology, FTTP, OP. In other words, they are rolling out or testing, trying to develop faster speeds because they are not going to be rolling out fibre to the home in most Australian premises because we got a cut-down version of the NBN. And that's the news.
Great news. Daryl, good reading. Do you want to mention the Foxtel one?
Oh, yes, the Foxtel one. Oh, let me get that one. Apple release.
It's actually Presto. Yeah, Presto.
Oh, yes, Presto. That's one. I will grab the Presto one. And Presto content to diversify as ACCC approves 10 Fox deals. So for those, again, in Australia that have Foxtel, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the ACCC, and the Australian Communications and Media Authority, ACMA, have approved an acquisition deal between the 10 network and Foxtel, giving 10 the option to take a stake in Australian video streaming service Presto. Under the deal, free-to-air network 10 will acquire 10% of Presto, while pay TV provider Foxtel will acquire 15% of 10 itself.
Jeez.
10 will also purchase a 24.9% stake in Foxtel advertising agency multi-channel network MCN. So it looks like they're all buying chunks of each other here, probably for the content, because they all want to get content out there. So so while the ICCC has been initially wary of approving the deal, saying in September that it could reduce competition in the traditional TV broadcasting market, on Thursday it announced that it was satisfied that the deal would not have this effect. So there you go.
Good stuff, Daryl. And it also was Foxtel's 20th birthday yesterday too. So
happy birthday to Foxtel.
Yeah, good on you, Foxtel. 20 years. That is well done to them. Let's go to Anna and Amin. You got any views on them stories, guys?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting that you said that Foxtel's turning 20. I read yesterday that the average lifespan for companies today is 20 years versus 58 years about 30 years ago. So,
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting move. You say that there's a real interest in online streaming and obviously looking at different ways to connect to audiences. So it's good that there's not a barrier, I suppose, as far as the ACCC stopping that from happening, as far as being able to reach wider audiences, because audiences are accessing content in so many different ways now.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jacob. Any views, Jacob?
Well, the Apple releases the iTunes. I like it. It's pretty good, but
you don't use iTunes.
They really haven't fixed the bugs yet for Windows side.
Okay.
With free app freezing.
And what about the Facebook app? Have you noticed any difference in that? I have.
Yeah, I could see a highly noticeable reaction time, because I did a test before I updated. It was lagging a bit, but now it's like snap, crackle, pop.
That's it. Anything else, Jacob?
iOS 9.1.
Good update?
Yeah, good update. There's one update, the emojis. We love it.
I love the emojis, I agree.
Yeah, they said they would do it, and they came through.
Have you seen the emojis, Daryl?
Oh, I haven't had a chance to sort of play with them yet. But for me, the best thing of 9.1, I remember I mentioned when 9 came out that my old iPad 3 really became treacly. You know, like when I was swiping apps to close, it would take several attempts. It seems on the surface that it's given a bit of extra life to my iPad 3.
Okay.
And swiping apps, you know, just the thing to swipe an app closed is much snappier.
Yep.
So I'm really grateful for that, because the 9 had really turned my iPad 3 into a nightmare to shut apps down.
I'm sure it would.
So I'm happy about that.
Well, look out for Santa might bring you a new iPad for Christmas.
Oh, it'd be nice.
An iPad Air 2 or iPad Pro, would you want?
Probably an iPad Air 2 if I ever get one, because an iPad Pro probably don't need that size. But it's nice, very nice.
I'm sure it is. The iPad Air, iPad Pro, Air 2 is great. Jacob, any more views on that? Was that it?
Well, I was going to talk about the one emoji that they said people were wanting was the middle finger emoji.
Right.
They said they weren't going to do that, but lo and behold, in the update, there it was.
Yeah, there's a lot of new emojis in there to look at.
Yeah, the taco, the unicorn, and a burrito.
Yep. All right. Okay. Steve, what about you, mate? What's your view on them stories?
Not as much this week. Now, with Facebook app is killing iPhone battery life, usually I'm careful how I use my battery life, so I usually end up turning off Wi-Fi or cellular data. That way, you know, I don't have to worry about, except when I'm using it, obviously. And then usually I'll use Wi-Fi if when available to save on my data plan. And I'm over updated with 4K support. I don't know. I'm different from most people. I don't really stream things through my phone or tablet. I don't edit video. What's of course, a lot of people do. I'm not saying against anybody doing it, but I've got, you know, desktops to do it, and you know, I'm faster on a desktop anyway. Yeah. Of course, if you're in a mobile environment, you got to have the video out really quickly. You know, on the go, then obviously that's the best way to do it. So,
what's your view on what's your view on 4K, Steve?
I mean, I think that's going to be the next, you know, the next thing. Obviously, 3D didn't work out. So going 4K is probably going to be the next step eventually. We're starting to see it now, 4K TVs, 4K monitors. Some places you can get 4K. But obviously, there's it's going to take a while for consumers to get it, especially in Australia where data, internet's going to be a problem. Here in America, even though our internet's a lot better, I think we're going to see still not people, you know, people still going to have trouble getting it still.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
In most cases, I think most people should be okay with 1080p for a while.
Yeah, 1080p is fine. You know, Craig, me and Jake, we were in a hangout the other day. We were talking about the new Apple TV coming out next week. And he was raving on about 4K and, you know, saying it, you know, no good and without no 4K and that sort of thing. And
My question is, when do we get to a stage where the human eye can no longer distinguish how, you know, we always we go from 1080p and then we bring out 4K and that's supposed to be wonderful and brilliant to see, and then they, whatever, 8K. When do we get to a stage where the human eye just can no longer, it's so powerful. When do we get to a stage where the human eye just says, well, it can't distinguish any, you know, it can't get any better.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, do we reach a theoretical limit?
Well, there, like between HDTV and 4K television, there's only like what, a 8 to 10% improvement. It's not that great.
It sort of reminds me of audio, where you get really high quality audio and high quality audio, and then the only way at the end to distinguish it is plugging your audio into a machine, which gives you the figures on the machine. The human ear can no longer distinguish, you know, whether it's any better, because it's just goes beyond. So I mean, eventually it's going to, I don't know whether they'll come out with another technology, but I just sort of start to wonder how far they can go with just making massive more pixels on the screen.
I think there's gonna be a limit. I mean, from SD standard definition to HD high definition, that was the biggest jump, and then, you know, the 4K is going to be much, much smaller, and the 8K, I don't know. To be able to even watch 8K, you're going to, you know, the only biggest advantage you'd have with that maybe is if you had the television the size of, you know, that's the size of your whole wall and the side of your building or your house or something. But
Exactly. What Anna and Hamin, what's your view on the 4K and that sort of thing?
I think, you know, everyone thinks of, you know, these high resolutions for bigger screens. I think what they're actually going to be useful for is smaller screens, because when the VR kind of movement takes off, we're putting these screens really close to our eyes, and we're using magnifying, you know, we're using lenses on top of them.
Yep.
So one of the problems VR is having is, how do you create an immersive environment where you're not seeing any pixels, and when you're not seeing any screen door effects and that sort of thing. And the answer to that is high resolution. And I think, you know, when you're having a screen that close to, like, literally an inch away from your eye, 4K and above is probably the minimum kind of resolution to kind of get rid of that effect. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of the VR movement influences resolution and screen development.
Yeah. I think it's something that we'll probably see more of to be explored in the production processes as well. Obviously, there's issues around, you know, storage of large files with higher resolutions. But I think if you just look at, you know, there's so many new players in the VR space now exploring what it's going to look like, how it's going to be processed, what the production pathway is going to be. I think the most recent one was 8i, which is a startup in Wellington that had recent funding of about $20 million to create a consumer-centric platform for VR and really experimenting with how, you know, how consumers are going to interact on that platform.
So, I mean, you know, VR videos, we're talking like, you know, 18, 20K, you know, videos that need to wrap around in 360. Mm. So I think what 4K is doing inadvertently, it's kind of pushing all of our video processing technology, the bandwidth, all of that stuff to start processing some really huge files moving forward. Yeah, I mean, you know, like the red camera's already shooting at 6-8K, and you know, soon enough we're going to need to have cameras which shoot on a single chip but capture 28K, so it can capture your entire environment. So it's, I think this is the first step of like a much bigger kind of way we're going to consume media in the future. So it's you know, we're going to need bigger pipes, we're going to need bigger bandwidth. Exactly. You know, I don't know if the fiber to the basement trial of 800 megabits
is not going to be enough.
Is even going to be enough?
Yep. No.
So
no.
You know,
nowhere near enough.
And then how much is it going to cost for all this bandwidth too? So
yeah.
I mean, they're very slow in implementing it.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, 800 megabits is great, and I really commend you know, the NBN program for pushing forward to that. But you know, it is still to the basement, and still probably going to be shared with 50 or 100 flats. So, you know, I think it, you know, in Australia, for us to push that real kind of next generation content delivery, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, that's why I was arguing, you know, the fiber to the node, the fiber to the home, the original NBN was the way to go, because you want to future proof the network. And there's no point, yes, that's 800 megabits sounds great now, but in 5 years' time, if some of the technologies you were talking about leap forward and start to become into, you know, consumer grade, people are going to be saying 800 megabits is not enough. And then if they're locked out because the network can't be upgraded easily, and you know, you're not, and no government's going to say, oh, we'll do NBN Mark II. So that's why I was really scathing when they wound it back, because it's really cutting short the future in a way, and the future generation is going to be the one that's going to have to either spend a lot more money to upgrade.
I do think that the future for Australia probably at this point is probably going to have to be wireless, because the infrastructure is just the plans for the infrastructure now you know, are probably going to lock us out 10 years from now. So we might have to bypass it altogether and just go, you know, beam straight to satellite or something. I don't know.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, once-in-a-generation opportunity, I think, that, like you said, to future-proof. But the problem is now, it's like, what do we do now? Like, do we...
Yep.
What's the next step now?
And it just affects, you know, business when, you know, if you're a VR developer or some other developer, and you're thinking, will I start my business here and build a business here in Australia, or will I go to a country that's got, you know, a network that is future proofed and build the stuff there?
Yeah.
It really is getting to that point where people are making, you know, like where they live, right? Like when, if you're moving into a new house, let's see if it's got, you know, fiber, it's got, you know, NBN or whatever it is. And it's the same thing with businesses. Like, you know, for us, when we've done a couple of, you know, we've been working with VR for a bit, and, you know, we're shooting with 8-12 cameras, and this is not just, you know, 100 gigs, we're talking about terabytes of data. Yeah. And, you know, and we want to be able to send them off to our post people in the US or whatever it is. And you know, it literally, the fastest internet we have today is probably in Australia is probably the postal system, you know, we want, or Uber, right? You want something, you know, you want something sent to just post it, or send an Uber to drop off a drive, you know?
Yep.
And that's kind of a really kind of backwards way of, transmitting data.
Yep.
We actually used Uber literally. It was so bizarre in our post-production pathway. to yeah. transfer files. It was the quickest way we could get files to
Uber's quite great because we were sending files across like Dropbox, so we called it like Uber Dropbox, you know. So we'd call an Uber driver, they'll pick up a USB stick from, you know, someone, and then they'll drive it across to us, and then we'll
that
send
was
it back
faster than actually uploading.
How does the USB pay for it?
Sorry?
How do they pay for it?
The passenger. Okay,
cool. Yeah.
No, we put the pin where we want it to be picked up, when we just tell the driver, hey, can you pick up this USB stick from this guy? And then they just drive it over to us.
Sweet.
And and that's why we really need an Uber courier service launching near.
Yeah, soon. Definitely.
That's NBN Mark II.
Yeah.
Guys running around with cars.
Bicycles. That's it.
That's it.
Jacob, what's your view on all this, mate?
The 4K TV?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. There's not much out there for.
Well, you heard what Craig Shipp said about the Apple TV, and you know.
I know, but it's his own words.
Yep. Well, I did some research on the new Apple TV, and from what I understand, the chip that it has it in now, and some of the other things that it's capable of doing 4K, didn't announce it, so it could.
So it does do 4K, then, does it?
Well, I'm saying it's capable of the processor in there is capable of. It may even be a firmware update a little bit later on once Apple's ready, and then they can enable it to be 4K. So even though they didn't announce it being 4K, not saying that it won't be in the future. It could be a software switch in there. Who knows? There's still some time. All right. You can see.
Darryl, what's your view on them stories real quick, man?
I think Facebook app, I think they acknowledged that it was an issue, and I think if they haven't already pushed it out, they'll be pushing it out a new app very so download it if you feel that your iPhone/iPad is battery is draining quicker. We've done the sort of 4K, but just on Apple, you know, Apple's never been a company that has been at the bleeding edge of stuff. Apple tends to wait. It allows a few other players to come into the market and, if you like, test the water. Look at the watch.
Yep.
And then Apple will wait, develop it, and then when it comes into the market, it's not happy just to compete. It wants to dominate a market. So I can see when 4K is starting to be used more by people, and they've got the capacity to stream and all the rest of it, you'll find Apple, whether Steve might be right, it might be just a quick firmware update. They flick a switch, bang, all of a sudden it's got 4K. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. iOS 9.1, if you've got an old iPad like mine, I would sort of certainly recommend updating, because it did certainly help the performance of mine. The Presto, it's really interesting that the sort of the commercial networks and all that, because the government's looking at trying to change the ownership rules to allow, networks to own streaming, to own newspapers. They're doing this great dance at the moment, the networks around each other and waiting for regulatory and governments to sort of say, yes, you can now own this, you can buy this, you can have shares in this. But it's this real shake-up because of streaming that we're finally getting in Australia with Presto and Stan and, of course, Netflix.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see in the next 12 months when it sort of shakes itself out, who's going to be on top. And, of course, you've got Foxtel sort of owning the sports market at the moment. So, and the NBN, 800 megabits sounds fantastic. Give it to me now. But like we've all said, it was a missed opportunity to future-proof the network, and it's going to affect business in the future if we can't keep up to date with what's happening in technology, and we have to use Uber to carry hard drives.
Have you used Uber? I love Uber. Have you used Uber before, Darryl? You probably haven't, have you?
No, not in Mansfield. Uber doesn't get up this way very much. We've got a couple of taxis. I'm in rural Victoria, so we've got a couple of taxis.
Yep.
And so no, I haven't Ubered yet.
Should try that when you come to Melbourne. It's great.
I will.
I use it every when I need to go somewhere. I love it.
Yeah, no, it sounds great.
I use it on my Apple Watch.
Oh,
I do it for my Apple Watch.
Cool.
It's good fun, mate. It's good fun. We've got Anna and Hamid on today. Daryl?
Yes.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Good to have you on. Tell us about what you've been up to.
Well, it's been a bit of an amazing year for us. We're currently on tour, taking the show across Australia from city to city. We recently just this morning had a Skype with the startup Mackay up there. They're having a massive weekend up there, encouraging startups to get out and get their startups going. So yeah, we're touring across Australia. We're heading across New Zealand and then coming back to Melbourne to have a final event at the Savoy Tavern where the show is actually filmed, and inviting everyone to come down for that, which should be pretty fun as well. So
cool.
Yeah, first series is shot. You know, we launched on BitTorrent Bundle. We've got nearly a million viewers. We're actually also on Virgin Airlines now, Virgin Australia.
Good stuff.
So yeah. it's all happening.
Good stuff. Any questions, Daryl?
Yeah, look. I mean, you obviously see so many startups, and there's those that make the grade or that you're in, and there's others that sort of fall by the wayside. If you could give some advice to potential startup that was wanting to get on your show or wanting to sort of grab your attention, what would be some of the key things that you would, that sort of prick your imagination when you're watching one of their presentations?
Well, I think first and foremost, we always look for us, it's about getting companies that are a certain stage. If someone's got a great idea and they're about to launch it on a crowdfunding campaign, that's often very interesting to us. And we can also help that startup with that crowdfunding campaign. We also tend to look at, companies that are at that next level. So they've already gone through a crowdfunding campaign or they've got a first seed round, they're looking for their next sort of Series A round. But by and large, it's very much around the quality, the concept, also the ability of the founder to be able to deliver that in a really great pitch as well. But yes, we do definitely see all manner of businesses, really, or startups, from anything from a really incredible app to a more lifestyle oriented startup, right through to that early stage sort of initial invention style, hardware sort of type startup as well. So it's a range of things, but often it's just the quality of the actual concept itself and what the founder's been doing with that and what stage the company's at as well.
And here's the thing, right? Like we are called that startup show. So for us, we place a huge emphasis on storytelling in your pitch. And I think that's something that a lot of founders, it's a really important skill to have. So we do coach them through how to tell your story in a compelling way that's going to be, it doesn't need to be fun or entertaining, but it does need to be compelling and people need to be engaged. So that's something that we kind of look for in founders who want to pitch. Can they capture everyone's imagination in a few minutes? So yeah.
All right.
We also run a thing called Pitch Club, which is also an opportunity for startups to practice their pitches. So we do pitch auditions and things where we can do that preliminary practice, so to speak, to see what people are like. And next year we'll probably extend that a lot further out to video pitches as well, from now that we've connected to a lot more startup communities across Australia and New Zealand, and really getting more pitches, from all over, because it's important to get that diverse mix to see what's going on.
Yeah. And I think the one thing we've learned on our show is that, at the end of the day, you're pitching to people who, cutting through to those people through an emotional sell or a sell that really is going to compel them to want to be part of your whatever it is you're doing is really important. So that's what we look for.
Yeah, and the other thing on that side is it's not just sort of like unlike shows like Shark Tank, which focus just on financial kind of they're a bit more entertainment focused, and they're only measurables around financial stakes, whereas the opportunity with Startup Show is actually to talk to an audience, and a lot of the pitches we had on the show really weren't pitching for funding, they're actually pitching for customers, or they're actually really trying to rally the crowd, the online crowd and the audience at the same time, because they're in a pub full of 200 people. They've got an opportunity who are tweeting and talking and engaged with them. So it's an opportunity for them to then get to their extended networks right there, just in the room, just on the live show, let alone then being able to reach and connect with people in the online community as well. So it's just a really great opportunity for them to promote their what they're doing at that point.
All right.
But if there's any startups out there that want to get in touch with us, and you know, feel we're open, and feel free to email us. At,
where can they get hold of you?
So our email is team@thatstartupshow.tv, or head to our website thatstartupshow.tv, Twitter @thatstartupshow @TSUshow. We're pretty approachable.
Cool. All right, Jacob, any questions for the guys?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead.
What was the best show production that they had on there, and what was the worst one that you had, or should say funny?
Funny pitch-wise, or
yeah, just like if they're like if someone was pitching their device or app, like something silly, or bad or good, the worst or.
Another fart app? No, sorry. I guess.
Good.
Yeah, I think one of the best, most engaging pitches I heard was one called Echo Health, which was a wearable device that helped people detect people who might have a seizure with epilepsy. The reason I love that pitch was because the founder, Alex Hegarty, has epilepsy himself, and he told a really personal story, a really personal journey around why he wanted to create this particular device and how it would help people and how many, you know, gave us a bit of an education about how many people suffer from epilepsy and what the impacts of that are on a family. So that was really powerful. That was very engaging. As far as funny ones, I think we had...
We loved Rewind's pitch.
Yeah, they were cool.
Andrew dumped a bunch of at the time the whole ice bucket challenge.
Was, yeah, I've seen that. Yep.
So Andrew dumped a whole bunch of lollies on an investor's head, which I don't know whether that was good or bad.
Was that? Did it hurt? But didn't. Was it lollies or what's the lollies?
I don't know, but it looked great. Yeah. Seeing it in reverse, you know. So yeah.
That was fun. All right, cool. We also had another feisty young woman called Murray, who had a really interesting app around dating, and she's scared a few guys in the audience actually.
Yeah, the dating app is called Epic Catch, and it's basically her slogan is "Give Tinder the finger." So
there's a lot of Tinder jokes.
It's all about kind of it's for people who are not content with Tinder and they want kind of more out of. Women in particular who want more out of their male counterparts.
But she talked about training the nice guys and finding the nice guys and training them, doing things with them.
Grooming them.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, Steve, any questions?
I just want to mention about the one app you were talking about with epilepsy. And it kind of had to do with the recent, with the Apple Watch. I recently heard about a boy had heart problems, and it was discovered by the Apple Watch. And then they went more into it, and they found out he did have some problems and could potentially save his life. So apps like that could really, in the health industry, could be very helpful. As far as that goes, and also I wanted you mentioned about during these shows, how about the live audience participation? Is the audience able to ask questions to these startups? That way they can get their input or maybe what they're looking for or suggestions the audience might have.
The way we shot the last season, there was no time for Q&A. The shows are about 2 hours, and we have to move fairly quickly. But the beauty of our live show is that it's actually also a meetup. So yes, there is the shooting of the episode and that sort of thing. But everybody's before and after mingling together, having drinks together. And everyone gets to, we end up staying there till about 12 o'clock at night, just chatting, and everyone's talking to each other. So it's quite a, I think that happens after the show.
And also the thing for us as well is to, even in, and you might get that if you watch the show, is that the sense that the audience is like the fifth panel member that really is interactive. So we do try and encourage that kind of interaction. You can hear them, and it's very much a very close connection that the pitcher has to the audience when they're doing it. And I think we've found in the, even in the screenings when we've had people coming up to pitch, that's another really amazing opportunity that people have to just come out of the woodwork, and we do a little speed pitch at the end of the screening. And that's when we've had an incredible, really in-depth discussions with the audience, everyone chiming in, not only just about that idea, but the show, about other ideas. We've had actually very frank audiences just on the screenings that we've been doing on the tour so far. But it's definitely, interaction is critical because there's such great feedback. And the pitchers all get feedback straight afterwards from people that come up to them after the show. Sometimes some of them have been offered things straight away from investors in the audience, which has been really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Jacob's got one more question. Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, I was wanting to ask something about the awards. I watched the show on the YouTube. Have you got any ideas to, like, make any funny awards, like what you have, the small trophy and all that stuff? future ones, like, make a fake golden iPhone or something like that for the best.
We definitely got plans to create more comedy segments, most definitely, about the startup journey for Series 2. But we're in the process of we're very big on acknowledging the contributions that people make, definitely in the making of the show, but also people that are out there doing interesting things. So we're exploring this concept called the Hall of Legends, which will definitely be looking at awarding people or at least recognizing contributions in different ways. So you'll have to look out for that one.
Cool.
Like the ones I was talking about, like when Andrew was up on the stage, you had the trophy, the necklace. What was the other one that you had at the time?
Oh, there was a few stuffed animals thrown around too.
Yeah, we had a few T-shirts. we had a T-shirt called the Equity. So you'd get an Equity, but it's not really Equity. It's just a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's right.
We shower them with gifts. Definitely. Yeah.
That's good.
You know, they win their first round. The way they're kind of mini competition works in the show, the series, is the winner of the actual episode then goes into the running for the finals, and then they, out of those finals, they basically get selected to go to, one of them gets selected to go to Silicon Valley.
Yeah. I love the idea of the golden iPhone, though. That could be cool.
Golden iPhone would be fun.
Are you guys an Apple fans at all? Do you own the new iPhone and stuff?
I'm Apple. Yeah, Apple, I'm an Apple. Mad.
What Apple products do you own?
I have I'm a bit of a weird one because I'm originally a Windows guy, and on the desktop I'm Windows, but in every other facet I'm Apple. So iPhone, you know, iPad, MacBook. I dual boot on my MacBook, Windows and OS X. So
cool.
And Apple TV is like, you know, the altar in which
we actually don't have a TV. We basically have Apple TV.
Are you going to get the new Apple TV when it comes out next week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I've been checking the Apple Store app every day.
Same. So I think on Tuesday we can order it. We can order on Tuesday and then it gets shipped during the end of the week.
Oh, wow. It's like Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, sometime Tuesday, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So, and what about you, Anna? What Apple products do you own?
Well, I've just got a 6. I was clumping around with a very broken, smashed 5 for a while, just because I literally was so busy, I didn't get time to do anything. But that's pretty much it. And I'm on speed dial for Uber. That's pretty much the only app that I seem to be using.
What do you think of the Apple Watch?
I don't mind it. I kind of find it. I think it's a bit clunky on the wrist, just from a design perspective. But
right.
And I also think that I struggle a little bit with the screen being that small, but I don't know. I mean, it doesn't wow my world. It's not like it's a nice to have, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't blow my mind though. a design perspective.
Where the Apple Watch will start to get really interesting is when they open up. I mean, they've already opened up the API quite a bit in version 2 of the OS, but when we get to design new watch faces and use the inbuilt functionality a lot better, I think that's going to open up a lot of opportunities. You mentioned before the heart, you know, somebody detected a heart kind of condition through their Apple Watch. And I think, you know, we're at a stage where, we know so little about our health, we're so happy to even, Theranos was so amazing because we thought, oh, we can get access to our blood test results and all that stuff so quickly. But we don't know much about our health, and we're starting with, our own heartbeats, little things like that. You know, 5 years from now, when your watch is going to tell you your blood sugar levels and your thyroid levels and all that sort of stuff, that's going to be really interesting. So the more sensors they can pack into this, I think for version 2 or 3 is going to be pretty amazing.
Have to work on the design, though.
Yeah, the design's, I kind of like the design.
They need a girl version.
Yeah, they need a girl version.
All right. Okay, so guys, where can they get hold of you if they have any more questions for you?
We're available at thatstartupshow.tv or team at thatstartupshow.tv or Twitter at TSU Show.
Cool.
Or Facebook us, hashtag TSU Show.
Hunt us down.
Yep. What about you personally? Are you on Twitter, Anna? And
I'm on Twitter at Ace Salama.
Okay.
All right. Hunt us down, check us down.
Will do. Good to have you on, guys.
Cool.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you. And Hamid. So, Jacob, what's going on, mate? Your birthday is on Sunday. What do you got planned? Real quick.
Nothing really, because we're low on funds and no one wants to get me anything.
Don't say that on here, mate. Please. Don't say that on here.
Dad, but other people do. I'm not saying who.
Yeah. Daryl, good show, mate. Good to have you on.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad. And thanks to our guests. It's really interesting to hear about startups and particularly Australian startups.
Definitely.
It's great. When Australian startups need all the support and publicity they can get because we're such a small market and we're so far away from the centre of things.
Yeah, definitely. I think Australia needs to do more startup stuff and that sort of thing. Where can they get hold of you, Daryl, if they want to ask you any more questions?
On Twitter at Learnscape. And as I say, I often stalk people on Google+. So just search Daryl Hunt on Google+ and you can find me there as well.
Good stuff, mate. Will you be getting the new Apple TV next week?
Maybe not next week, but when
soon.
Soon. I think my parents might be getting it fairly quickly. So they're keen on getting it. Yeah.
I can't wait. I'll be getting mine next week as well. I can't wait. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast. Jacob Jones, happy birthday
Happy birthday,
Monday.
Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob. You're getting old, 31, 30.
And where can they follow me?
What?
And where can they follow me? At JazzBot32669.
That's it.
1Z.
Yeah,
1Z.
That's it. So you'll be getting the Apple TV, Jacob?
You bet your behind I am.
Yeah, you will be. enjoy, mate. Steve, what about you?
I'm... I've been waiting for a couple of years. This new Apple TV looks quite a bit better. I am looking for more of an app store type of thing. That way I get what I need. This time I think I will get one.
Definitely.
Finally.
I think there's going to be some cool apps on there and stuff, and not just games and it's like, it should be good. And Steve, where can they get hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
All right, that's it. Good show, guys. Jacob, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're here to say happy birthday. Steve, want to say happy birthday to Jacob, or you want to sing to him?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, that's actually good. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. 'Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha!
Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer.